call this special meeting of Amherstburg Town Council to order. Is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest? Okay, seeing none. Before we get started, I just want to thank administration for all their work over the weekend. We've been going back and forth since at least Friday, probably sooner, and I know they put in some long hours to try and get these reports to us and make sure that the town continues to operate as fluidly as possible. And I know they were making changes right up until this afternoon when we had provincial and federal direction and changes again. So with that, thank you, and go ahead.
Thank you, Your Worship. I've got a PowerPoint presentation for all of council and members of the public, those tuning in from our live streaming. It's the Town of Amherstburg Emergency Planning presentation that I would like to share with council. Next slide, please. COVID-19, that's what we're all here for this evening in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. COVID-19 is a respiratory virus with pneumonia-like symptoms. There are confirmed cases in Canada, including Ontario. We see those numbers are increasing on a daily basis. We are monitoring the situation and we recognize that the situation is changing rapidly. And as information becomes available, so must the actions and decisions of the town. Next page. We believe in taking appropriate actions quickly, and we will attempt to minimize the seriousness of illnesses and overall deaths that may result as a result of COVID-19 through the efforts to reduce the spread of this virus through actions taken by the town, for our residents and for our staff. We will minimize social disruption as much as possible in an effort to support our healthcare partners, such as Windsor Regional, Hotel Du Grace Healthcare, and all of the emergency services, in an effort to return our community to a normal state as quickly as we can. We do not want to overburden an already taxed healthcare system by not making decisions to protect our residents and our staff. We wish and we will instill trust and confidence in our residents that the town and staff are taking all appropriate measures necessary in order to reduce the impact of this illness through timely, informed decisions and actions that support a coordinated effort locally, regionally, provincially, and nationally. Next slide, please. So what have we done thus far? We have and we continue to collaborate with all of our regional municipalities, healthcare partners, and emergency services, recognizing that we need to work in a partnership to produce an effective and coordinated response locally and regionally. We are working together to adopt consistent and collaborative approaches to planning and response, and in the future, recovery. We have considered evidence-based informed information in our decision-making and recommendations for council. We have considered information from our local health unit, the Ministry of Health, Health Canada, and the World Health Organization with the best available evidence to extent possible to formulate our policies and our actions in addition to any legal and contractual obligations. We believe that our response to COVID-19 pandemic is appropriate with the level of threat that is being recognized not only locally, but nationally and worldwide. We will take all necessary actions to prevent the spread of this virus as much as we can as a municipality. We are confident our policies are flexible enough to ensure that the actions taken by the town will allow us to tailor our response to this situation. We acknowledge that as more information becomes available, our approach and our actions must and will change. The town will continue to collaborate with our partners locally to ensure that we will work in a regional approach that is consistent in an effort to minimize the spread of COVID-19. We recognize that the patterns to spread of COVID-19 may mean that locally, our municipalities may require flexibility in the terms of scale and timing of our response, and we are prepared just to do that. Next slide. So we are taking a precautionary, protective approach that is proactive in nature in the early stages of this pandemic, based not only on the evidence of informed decisions, but what has happened worldwide based on experiences and successes reported from areas dealing with the pandemic. We believe that making timely, reasonable, and effective decisions preventing the spread of this virus is necessary and is the best course of action. We are using established practices and systems to the most extent possible with the guidance of our local health authorities and bodies to prevent the spread of the new virus. It is extremely difficult to implement new ways to do things, such as emergency planning, but we are prepared to take all the actions necessary. We recognize our strategies and our processes will change, and we will rapidly ramp up to manage the pandemic. We will keep council informed, and we will keep the community informed as best as possible. We are used ethically based decision-making models to ensure that societal values of our residents are recognized and embedded in all of our decision-making, including the processes we use to reach to our decisions. We believe it is especially important to ensure that all actions of the town respect our residents' concerns of public health while also respecting the rights of individuals as much as possible. We need to remind one another, this is a pandemic, and our actions first and foremost are to protect the residents, visitors, and staff. Next page. So the purpose of today's special meeting. The purpose of today's special meeting is to consider the report dealing with repealing the town's pandemic response plan policy dated October 26, 2009, to adopt the town's policy regarding infectious disease prevention, to adopt the town's policy with working at home in the event of an emergency such as this, to adopt the town's amended 2020 emergency response plan, including the actions of the flood response plan, a working plan for administration, a corporate pandemic plan, a working plan for administration, and to consider and adopt an electronic participation protocol. Next slide, please. Recommendation to consider repealing the pandemic response plan. Why are we doing this? We are recommending the repeal of this because the pandemic response plan policy is a procedural document, not a policy. A revised corporate pandemic plan has been developed and has been included as an annex in the town's emergency response plan in accordance with the Emergency Management and Civil Protection Act of 2000. This document, our pandemic response policy plan, was provided to all of council on Friday through an email that I sent to everybody on Friday afternoon. Next slide. Our adoption of the infectious disease and prevention policy. This policy commits to protecting staff, volunteers, and visitors from adverse effects and exposure to infectious disease, such as COVID-19. Next slide. Our adoption of a working at home in the event of an emergency policy. In an effort to respond to the emergency situations such as COVID-19, pandemic, administration has developed a work-at-home policy for council to address such situations as this. The purpose of the policy is to minimize illness in the event of an emergency. The policy also recognizes that not all staff will be able to work from home. Next slide. Adoption of the Town of Amherstburg's emergency response plan as amended on March 16, 2020. The Emergency Management Plan, Management and Civil Protection Act states that every municipality shall formulate an emergency plan governing the provision of necessary services during an emergency, and the procedures under and the manner in which employees of the municipality and other persons will respond to the emergency, and that council of the municipality shall by bylaw adopt the emergency plan. The plan also states that the head of council of a municipality may declare that an emergency exists in the municipality or in any part thereof, and may take such action and make such orders as he or she considers necessary and are not contrary to law to implement the emergency plan of a municipality and to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the inhabitants of the emergency area. Next slide, please. The town's emergency response plan has been amended to address two impending emergencies in our municipality: area flooding and COVID-19 pandemic. Highlights of the flooding response plan. The plan is developed to manage a flood event should one occur in the town of Amherstburg. The plan identifies planning assumptions and resource requirements of the town. It highlights of the flood response plan are to develop and manage flood event should one occur in the town of Amherstburg. The plan focuses on the town's readiness, response, and recovery should such an event occur. The plan identifies the level of municipal response based on flooding levels described by the Conservation Authority. Next slide. The Conservation Authorities are subject matter experts to forecast and analyze river and waterway behaviors. They are flood assessors, observers, and technical specialists to assess field conditions, reporting directly to an activated emergency operations center to help inform and integrate a response. They have access to geographical information, systems, and floodplain mapping. They are responsible to provide aviation resources for reconnaissance, surveying, and advanced planning should a flood occur. Next slide. Highlights of our corporate pandemic plan. Identifies the essential services of the town. It provides guidance on redeploying staff from non-essential work to support essential services. It serves as a companion document to the Windsor-Essex County Pandemic Influenza Plan. It dovetails federal and provincial pandemic influenza plan, and our plan sets out the expectation of key staff members. Next slide. The plan identifies that the medical officer of health is a local authority. It includes a communication plan for internal and external information. It sets out preparations necessary in advance of the situation. It is flexible and provides for escalation as required. It includes staff training and contingency measures. It includes a recovery process consistent with the town's emergency response plan. Next slide. Actions taken thus far by the town. All rentals at the Libro Center are canceled. The Libro Center is closed to the public for use except for building and planning offices. All town recreational programming has been canceled until further notice. The Gordon House has been closed. We are implementing measures for issues such as cleaning and social distancing in accordance with recommendations provided by the World Health Organization, Canada's Chief Public Health Officer, Ontario's Chief Medical Officer, and the local medical health officer and hospitals. Our policies are being developed and procedures to guide the town in managing this pandemic. Myself and the chief are here to answer any questions with regards to any of the plans that will be to the emergency plan that we'll be tabling this evening. Your worship, if we can go through the agenda, because some of the policies that are in the agenda are annexes to the plan.
Do you want to start at 3.1?
I would like, first of all, if we can receive the 3.1.
Okay, on item 3.1, Deputy Mayor, and second, Councilor Simone, is there any questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. And brings us to 4.1, the emergency plan.
Infectious disease prevention.
Want to jump to infectious disease?
Yeah, that's 4.1.
Oh, nothing.
It's not a nurse?
No.
Okay.
Do you want to do infectious
yeah,
disease?
Yeah, infectious disease, yes.
Okay, my agenda says infectious disease is 4.2. I'm not sure what everybody else has got, but we will do the infectious disease prevention policy.
4.1.
4.1.
Yeah. Are you just looking for a motion of this one?
Are you looking for just approval?
Just, we're looking for approval, so it...
Are you presenting any?
Well... Thank you, Your Worship. We're looking for approval of the infectious disease prevention policy. The policy is pretty self-explanatory with regards to what we're looking to identify to mitigate our risk as a municipality. And the major changes in the development of this policy include additions with regards to standard terms, best practices, and the responsibilities of each of our staff as it occurs with the infectious disease prevention policy.
Councilor Garvin?
I move the recommendation.
Thank you. Second. Councilor Crew, any questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Where's your response?
No.
No, work at home.
Work at home.
4.2, the work at home policy. Councilor Small?
Be adopted.
Second, Deputy Mayor, any?
I'd like to speak to it.
Sure. Deputy Mayor?
Microphone.
Thank you. Let's say. On the work at home, I mean, you did touch on it that not everybody's going to work at home. And given the social distancing that we're doing, we will have people here, key people here, I assume, or what's the plan there? Because at the end of the day, somebody that doesn't have access to online services wants to come in and pay their tax bill. Are we going to say no to them, or are we going to have somebody that will receive their payment?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Through Your Worship, that's a good question. What we're going to be implementing, we will still have key people here. The community needs to know that we will have key people at Town Hall. We will be implementing control measures. Basically, the protocol that was used this evening to attend the council meeting, where we will be asking you questions prior to entering the building. We're doing that in accordance with all of the recommendations from healthcare providers throughout the world. But we will be offering those services. We will continue to offer those services. Where someone identifies on one of the questions that's being asked, or their temperature is too high, we will not give them access to Town Hall. They have other options to conduct business with the town through email, paying online, paying at a bank. Those are all things that are available for people. But we are going to try as best as possible to adhere to those types of precautionary measures.
My focus is more though on what's the determining factor with respect to the employees, whether they're working from home or working here, as opposed to, I know we're doing a good job at CRA as of tonight, we're screening the people coming in, but the workers themselves, who's going to be here, what criteria is going to require them to be here, is it one person in each department, is it, you know, full department's going to be here, that's more, what level of service will be providing in within the departments?
We are going to try as best as possible to deliver uninterrupted service. We're doing a skills inventory right now with our staff to determine which staff have the ability to work at home. HR and all of the departments are working on that. We started that as of Friday, and we'll have that figured out.
Thank you.
Councilor Perk?
Yes, a lot of our employees don't work with computers. I'm thinking people who work on the roads, park staff, part-time firefighters, they don't really work with computers. They're hands-on people. I would take it that they're going to continue doing the job outside, as long as they would have a distance between themselves.
That is correct. They will continue to work outside. The distancing measures will be shared with the staff. We will be screening customers or residents if they're looking for services from the municipality prior to us providing them. For example, if there's in-home inspections, things of that nature, we need to be able to screen them. We're going to do our best as possible. I know Public Works, Antonetta, is developing with her staff a protocol. The chief has a protocol with the fire department. I can let them share what their protocol is. Chief Montone can share with a fire perspective.
Oftentimes workers will travel together in a truck, you know, to go do something. I would take it that will not be permissible. Therefore, the workers will have to take their own cars. One will drive the car, and one will drive the truck, and the others will take their own car to the scene. Mm-hmm. Is that what's envisaged?
Well, I'll let the chief answer his and the answer that hers, but PPE is going to be issued.
If I may, just to sort of help everyone understand. So, first of all, in terms of the work from home, so if we get into a situation where an emergency is declared or a significant reduction in services is necessary, so that essential services are to be maintained, that is when this policy, should council pass it, will provide us with a tool to be able to maintain those essential services. And I'll use the example of payroll. So the one way to keep staff happy will be to continue as an essential service to make sure that payroll is provided. That function would then potentially be moved from in the office to a from home location in order to maintain that essential service, as an example. Relative to your questions, Councillor Prue, through you, your worship, precautions are already in place to maintain social distancing between staff. And where, if that can't be done, and I'll use the firefighting forces as an example, where typically you will have several firefighters responding in a piece of fire apparatus within close proximity, we have a response protocol in place that requires them to mask up before they get in, and glove before they get in the vehicle, to protect themselves from each other, as well as then when they arrive on scene. And then following whatever the interactions are on scene, there are very specific decontamination procedures that are required by them before they get back on the truck and before their gear is returned onto the vehicle and equipment. So all of those protocols are already in place. Public Works, I'm sure Antoinette can speak to her processes that are changing by the hour relative to how that is happening. On the weekend, for example, yes, we continue to do on-site campfire inspections. And so staff were separated in terms of their travel to individual residential requests. And so we'll continue to have those processes in place to make sure that our staff safety is ultimately number one, followed very closely behind by also the safety of the public.
And just one little follow-up. The police officers who go out in the car usually go out in pairs. And that's a safety issue too. I mean, if they don't go out in pairs, you're sending out somebody alone, which is probably as dangerous or more dangerous than the pandemic. Can you tell me what Windsor Police is doing about this?
Thank you for the question, Councillor Prue. Amherstburg Detachment Officers are single man units, mm-hmm. but we could send multiple units to a call, of course. Mm-hmm. screening of all the members of the Amherstburg detachment, so that has been completed. As of Tuesday, March the 17th, we are suspending counter service at the detachment, so citizens will not be able to come in and get a police clearance or request reports. They're encouraged to use our online services, or as always, they can call the non-emergency number. If they require police assistance, again, call the non-emergency number. We will come to you because the doors will be locked. However, the phone that is in the front lobby will still be available for public use. That's the one you can pick up that directly dials the communication center. Of course, if it is an emergency situation and you need to attend the main office, there are officers available, and we will deal with those on a case-by-case basis. And that's it. That's kind of our update.
Thank you.
Councilor Simon?
I was just wondering the possibility of closing our doors to in-person interactions just to further reduce the risk to our residents. I'm not sure if that's a possibility, but I think it's important. Even our local MP has closed his constituency office to in-person interactions. So I'm just wondering if we could have people call in, email, social media, just to get a hold of staff.
That is definitely an option for us to provide. We felt that the screening protocol that we're establishing initially is a good form of prevention for staff. However, we may be coming at a later point in time, or if council wants to direct us this evening to do that, that is something that we're more than willing to take that direction on. Our first and foremost, our thought was to be able to allow business to continue with restrictions as best as we can.
I guess just as a follow-up to that, I would feel more comfortable for our staff to have the building closed and for people to call in, request services, use social media that they have at their disposal, and maybe even ask ACS if they're doing home visits to maybe see if any residents do have questions that town staff can assist them with.
We can make that part of direction. If we get a motion, there's a motion, so I would need an amendment, friendly amendment for that. Oh, okay. Councilor Simon, you moved it, so I think you're okay with changing it. And Deputy Mayor?
I'm okay with it to a certain point. I think there has to be a time frame on that. And we can revisit that time frame at some point down the road. So I would like to see some kind of a time frame, 2 weeks, and then maybe just through our regular meeting or something like that, then that straight update request for an extension of that, because just to leave it out there in perpetuity, okay, who makes the deciding? Then we'd have to come to council anyway to make a deciding vote to bring everybody back, or is that how it would happen? Since it's a council motion to restrict everybody, I guess we'd need another council motion to allow everybody to come back.
We will constantly be providing council updates on the pandemic and what's happening locally. The way I understand the motion from Councilor Simon is that she is taking the precautionary perspective for staff, and from that perspective, it doesn't reduce. It encourages residents to use different avenues to contact staff. So, from that perspective, I would come back to council with regards to when the severity of the pandemic or when the curve is flattened, because that's the real challenge. We're trying to make sure we're playing our role in order to flatten this curve. We wanted to, as a senior management team, offer our residents as much service as possible with restrictions. We've implemented strategies that are trying prevent the transmission of the virus. The best way to reduce transmission of the virus is to actually close town hall, as is being proposed, and using other mediums to conduct business. We need to recognize as well that there may be some residents that don't have access to computers, that don't have access to social media. So from a phone perspective, a phone-in perspective, there may be some delays in some service being offered or the way we can address it, but we have to be cognizant of the fact that the business that we're going to try and do, we're trying to deliver it in the safest manner possible, but recognizing that there's going to have to be exceptions. And when I talk about exceptions, for example, people who come and pay their tax bill in person, where they may, because they don't have access to town hall, may be late and may have a penalty. We have to consider those things. We are considering them as management. We're working on those types of things, and we'll continue to work on that. It's going to be very fluid. We have to be very fluid if we're going to make these types of decisions.
And further, you touched upon, people, you're going to have to use the phone more. And I know sometimes I get frustrated calling in here and I don't get a somebody to pick up the phone, dial zero. And so is there a way of, bumping up phone staff? Because we probably will get an increase in calls to handle that.
Through your worship to the Deputy Mayor, this direction will change in our plan. It allows us to redeploy staff. If that's the will of council, we'll look at redeploying staff to more staff to answer phones. We need to appropriately staff the resources based on the level of service we want to deliver. So if phoning in is a priority for our residents and for council, we'll redeploy staff to answer phones. We will do that based on the direction given.
Well, and I think it will be, since we're restricting access, mm-hmm. they'll want to contact somebody. So
sure.
At the end of the day, I think we need to have, uninterrupted phone access. Not like I said, I've called here sometimes and, don't get nobody to pick up. And so that is a concern if we're going to restrict, again, residents. So I would like to see something added. I agree with the motion, the amendment, and then have another addition to that, additional phone staff to handle calls, incoming calls.
I'm okay with that amendment.
The other thing, can we do that in a way that I guess it's not so specific?
Through your worship, what council must recognize is that we are reacting based on this level of service. So your senior administration will ensure that we have enough people answering phones. We recognize that we're going to close down. We're not going to allow access to town hall. We'll increase and redeploy staff to answering phones. If emails come in, we're going to have some staff that are going to need to be redeployed because we're not offering those services. We will make sure that staff are trained and able to answer the phones in the appropriate manner, be able to respond to emails. We will change and let people know what we're going to be doing. You're making this direction tonight, we're going to respond tomorrow. That's all
I understand, but do you have a mechanism that sees how many drop calls there are?
From an IT perspective, Nick, I don't know, you. How many drop calls?
Well, when I call, I
call
a drop
you can leave
call,
a message.
When I, well, I'm the kind of guy that won't leave a message. I want to talk to the person.
fair enough, Counselor, but I mean, we have a system that is designed to leave messages and we call back. If it's an enhancement of the returning of a phone call, if council wishes to see that all phone calls must be returned within a certain period of time, then we'll make sure that we provide the appropriate resources to return those phone calls.
And not to belabor the issue, I just want to make sure that if we're restrict people, that they have an ability to get access to us somehow. And I'm talking about the ones that don't have email, don't have social
yes.
media. And so those are the ones I'm talking about. So
if it's not already covered, we could probably do it as simple as something along the lines of accommodation for those who do not have access, to the more traditional electronic communication. Would that work?
That's fine, through your worship, that's fine. What I'm telling you is that's what you pay your senior management team to do. We will ensure that we have the staff here to answer the phones and return it in a timely manner.
Okay, then I'll just adjust the motion, Mr. Mayor, I'll just adjust the motion to pull back the additional staff, subject to the CEO's commitment to staff accordingly. I'll say it that way, the phone.
Councilor Simone? Okay. So any other, Councilor Reynolds?
Yeah, just.
Councilor MacArthur, I don't want to.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's okay. So just one question in terms of the essential services, you know, that we offer that people have to come here for. Fire permits, dog license tags, these sorts of things. Are we giving people extension and we're giving them a grace period so that they don't? I think we should. So I mean, especially as it comes to dog tags, I know Tecumseh did that this morning, they provided a grace period. Is that baked into our plan?
Our plans are evolving on a daily basis. And I'm going to err on the side of caution more than anything. Restricting access, we must recognize as a municipality that there's an appropriate time to provide an extension. You will have those ratepayers that will continue to pay and send their checks in and send their licenses in, and they'll continue to do that. There are those people that want to come and visit. When this pandemic gets lifted, that's when we put more efforts on saying, hey, you know, we granted an extension to this period of time because of the pandemic, but after that, we'll consider advertising and letting everybody know that you have to follow up with your dog license and all that stuff. But what we're trying to do, ladies and gentlemen, everything we're trying to do this evening is to prevent the spread of the pandemic. That's what we're trying to do.
So, and I guess that's kind of where I was going with like an accommodation, in that both for council's sake and for administration's sake, without locking it down too much, I think it would be more fluid, kind of like we've learned in the last few days, that council could receive complaints. They might be very specific things that we hadn't already considered. And if it's as simple as an accommodation on administration, then the complaints could flow through and changes can be made quickly without being too concerned about, no, the policy only says we can do this, so to speak. Otherwise, I think, you know, if we start developing a list of things to address, we'll miss something. So that's why I say if council's comfortable with, administration will accommodate as necessary, I guess. That leaves it open to both council and administration to make sure the town keeps moving fluidly, if that works for your concern. Councilor Reynolds?
Yeah, just a question. At the Libro Center, we have the planning department out there. Are those people going to be still functioning in their job? Because
through your worship to Councilor Reynolds, the planning and legal department will still be open. We're taking all the necessary measures to ensure we have restricted access. So the same thing that you're having here entering into council this evening, if you're coming for that business with the town to meet with planning and building, you will be required to meet the screening test. If council is basically suggesting that we, as we're taking the necessary measure here at Town Hall to do the same thing at the Libro Center, then we need to recognize that that will have an impact on our building department and our planning department. So we'll have to figure out a solution to that. We don't have online submissions of building permits yet. We don't have that as of yet.
Yeah, that's basically what I'm trying to understand for clarification on what's going to happen out there, because business still has to function, but we have to do it safely for the citizens and the workers.
And that's some of the variables I was trying to consider, right? It's, there'll be a number of things administration will have to address. And I guess I would just expect that, I'm sure we'd all expect that they would just address them as necessary based on the specific location.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, who's available. As they brought up in my day job, this is also contingent on our employees not getting sick. Because should they get sick, that'll quickly change the dynamics of what's going on at Town Hall as well. So I'd just like to see us be able to keep moving fluidly as quickly as possible. Any other questions or comments? Okay, with the changes on the amendment then, all those in favor? Carried. And then that brings us to the emergency response.
The emergency response plan. I'll turn it over to the chief if you've got any questions with regards to the emergency response plan.
The first thing we should note is that we very recently received confirmation from the province, correct?
Through your worship to the chief, but yes, we did. Chief, do you want to explain to council and members of the streaming audience what we did receive?
Sure. So approximately 2 weeks ago, his worship and the clerk's office received correspondence from the Solicitor General and the Office of the Fire Marshal and Emergency Management of our compliance for our previous version of our emergency response plan, which was deemed to be compliant with the directives and the regulations. And so the plan in front of you this evening is, again, the annual undertaking of council to approve the plan as amended. And so for 2020, the two amendments that you have before you is the addition of our flood response plan, which was implemented after this council's last approval of the plan because of the flood situation last year. You approved this, the 2019 version of this plan in January of 2019. And the flood plan, flood response plan was fully developed and implemented last May during the rising of the waters. And so the second amendment to this year's plan is the inclusion of the pandemic plan, which Mr. Michelli's PowerPoint presentation addressed earlier in the meeting with you. And so save and accept those changes. The plan is the same plan that you approved last year. Sorry.
That's okay. And that the province approved. So
and that the province seemed to be fully compliant, correct.
So on the emergency response plan, Deputy Mayor?
Move the recommendation.
Second. Council MacArthur, any questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. And that brings us to the electronic participation. Councilor Simone?
Move recommendation.
Second. Councilor Renault? And any questions or comments? Councilor Prue?
I feel a little uncomfortable with this. There are people here in the audience and they've got safe distance. Almost, I'm unaware in Canada up until this point of any proceedings other than in-camera proceedings that are not open to the public. This would be breaking brand new ground. I am particularly concerned, members of the press, to tell the members of the press that they cannot be here for a council meeting. I think it would invite a charter challenge, even in these trying times.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are to proceed with this, I would like to exclude them. They know the risks. I know Mr. Joplin knows the risks. And so would other members of the press. Cannot, in my view, exclude them from a public meeting. They have a duty and an obligation to report for all of those who do not have the opportunity to come to a meeting. That's accommodated them tonight. We have accommodated me by sitting down here. We can make accommodations and still keep people safe. It might be a very limited number of people who could be present, but I certainly don't have any difficulty with the 8 chairs that are here in the room being that far apart. I don't know what others think, but whenever the public is excluded from political process, and it happens all around the world, people get angry. And I don't want to infect people, but I also want people to know that their democracy works and that they can be part of it.
Do you want to go over the media for me?
Through your worship, the policy was developed not to limit the media, and I think we need to provide some clarity on that. And you know, I'm sorry in that regard. It was more to limit the gallery. Simply for, we were taking every step possible to try and mitigate this. We do have the social distancing protocol established this evening. That does limit participation. Should council wish to continue to do that, we'll ensure that the protocols are there for every council meeting with regards to the screening prior to people coming in. What we recognize from that risk as well is that if people were actually asking people voluntarily to offer information that they may or may not answer yes or no to, once you get the questions once and you know that if you suggest, for example, that you've been in the United States and that is one of the things that would limit you from coming in, we don't know that people would honestly answer that. I'm not trying to be negative about that, and that's what we were trying to consider on how to do that. That was, once again, our biggest fear is trying to mitigate the risk as much as possible.
As far as the media goes, though, if it's not clear, we did discuss this ahead of time, and we fully expect that the media would have access, as they have to. So that really only leaves us the question of the gallery, I think, and that's open for discussion. Deputy Mayor?
Well, the motion earlier that where we restricted the public from entering into the building sort of dovetails into this. Whether they're, part members of the public going to pay their tax bill or member of the public coming to sit in a town business meeting, it's still part of I guess that whole town business. And so again, we do it in one area and we don't do it in the other. I don't understand why we would have two different sets of rules. If you come to a council meeting, you can present yourself here, but if you come to pay your tax bills, you can't come in the building. So again, that's only my concern.
Councilor Small?
I would have to agree with the Deputy Mayor. As Councilor Prue said, we're in uncharted territory right now. And our job, I think, is to protect the residents as well as our staff. So I think in order to mitigate the spread, I think for the time being, we do have to limit to the live stream. I believe that's the main reason that we went to live stream, is that people that couldn't attend, they could watch online. So I would have to agree with the Deputy Mayor on.
Councilman Carver?
Thank you, Your Worship. This one's tough because I agree with Councilor Prue and I agree with Deputy Mayor Milosh and Councilor Simone. And it's wild out there. I've never seen anything like this. The seating set up in here, we have green tape on the floor. I don't know if you can see it at home to keep us all a meter apart. Today, we closed our border. Justin Trudeau had a press conference. He closed our border. I covered 911, and this seems beyond that. And it's changing so fast. So this morning, it was you're not supposed to go to public gatherings of 250 people. I said this morning, Chief. Thank you. And this afternoon, it's down to 50. There's 21 people in this room right now. That number could, you know, tomorrow they could, you know, have that number go lower. I mean, people are canceling birthday parties. There's a lot of things in this world, and you know, especially when it comes to this coronavirus that we can't control, right? You know, God grant me the serenity and all of that. But the one thing we can control is our movements and our actions. And I had never heard of social distancing before last week, and now it's all I hear about. And I think we all have an obligation as individuals, as responsible community members, to do everything we can to promote that social distancing. You know, not turn our backs on each other. You know, you want to still call people and check up on them. You want to buy gift certificates for local businesses, you know, to make sure that they can stay afloat. Because even this afternoon now, we're not going so far as Michigan. In Michigan, they're closing bars and restaurants. Now, this afternoon, Ontario's public officer of health is calling for the temporary closure of dine-in and bars. And so it's not forced, but it's a suggestion. So we're going to have to sort of support each other through this. And, you know, as a former journalist, I mean, I've sort of written editorials saying the door has to be open because, you know, sinister things grow in the dark. But in this instance, I think it makes sense and it makes sense only because we have a live stream. And we have a live stream that works, so it's not a closed meeting. It's an open meeting. The press is here. And I think it's a necessary step to protect the most vulnerable among us because, you know, there's folks out there who are walking around and saying, well, it doesn't matter, it doesn't affect me because I'm young and healthy. But people who are asymptomatic, they can spread this. And there could be community transition. And in terms of vulnerable populations, Amherstburg has the most vulnerable population in Essex County because COVID-19, it targets seniors. It affects them more than anybody else. So I don't think it makes sense to advocate for social distancing, but then to invite, you know, 30 or 40 people into close quarters in here. That just doesn't make sense. So I never thought it would be in a situation where I would say we shouldn't have the public coming into a public meeting. But Justin Trudeau today said they were we had exceptional circumstances requiring exceptional measures. And I think at the end of this, 2 months from now, hopefully 2 months from now, people can listen to the speech and listen to what we did tonight and make fun of us for overreacting. I think that would be the absolute best outcome we could have, but I don't want to underreact. So I'm going to support Councillor Simone's motion. And again, it's essential because we have live streaming, and whether we send out, we just use all of our social media, all of our connections to let people know if they have questions and concerns, to give them to us ahead of time for delegations, to write them into the clerk, to do everything possible to keep the wheels of conversation and discussion going. And the best thing we can do for each other right now is maintain our distance.
Councillor Prue?
Are we dealing with the press separate and apart from the others? That's what I understood from you, Mr. Mayor.
I don't think anybody's opposed to the press coming in. Was that an issue?
Absolutely no, they need to be here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because they are people too. So
yeah.
So just to go back, and I'm sure he's healthy. But just to go back to the people, I'm not thinking of 30 or 40 people in the room, but the reaction of politicians when there are people present is very different from reaction when they're not present. I go back to my own experience with this. And I go back to even the time of SARS. I was the vice chair of the Board of Health of Toronto at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Sheila Badger did a remarkable job. We never shut down the council, and we never shut down people from coming in to see. Very few people showed up because they were very nervous, just like tonight. Very few people will actually take that risk. But to take away the public's right to participate in the political process at any level and for any length of time is not something that I feel comfortable with. I know the will of council is going to say, okay, nobody's going to be here except the press, and I guess I have to live with that. But I do think that the public interaction with council on a personal level, even if sometimes we don't like it with hoots and hollers from coming from some of the things we do, is necessary for the political process. It what makes our Canadian democracy so vibrant and so participatory, and to limit it is not something I feel good about.
If I can, Your Worship, I think another point of clarification that might bring you a little bit of ease, Councillor, is that if we follow what we're mostly going to be doing in the situation is following basically our procedural bylaw as it comes to delegations. If someone has to delegate before council, we're not going to deny them that. They'll have to submit the delegation and we'll have the delegation. What this council has done has allowed many members of the public to participate through raising of hands, and what we simply are asking during these times is that if you need to attend and have to delegate, you submit the delegation and we will bring you through the screening test prior to you delegating in front of council. But we're not going to, as far as I'm concerned, take away the participatory right. We're limiting it. We're limiting it. That's all we're doing.
Okay, I thank you. That assuages my fears considerably. Something else. I'll think of it in a second.
Councilor Brennan?
I support the idea of temporary, not allowing the public to attend meetings. I think for staff and the citizens' own good, very comfortable, and because we get many, I know councilors get many, many emails and phone calls of the citizens expressing their concerns to us, privately, like in a phone call or an email, and I think hopefully it's short term. I mean, we have another meeting on the 23rd. We can always readjust at that point if we think things have started to stabilize. But I mean, most municipalities and the Board of Health talking April 6th, so we're still looking for more to come from provincial government yet. So,
Councilor Pruitt?
Back to the point I wanted to make. Some items we can deal with very rapidly. Some items are not contentious at all. Some items I get no phone calls. Some items do not concern the public in any great deal. But some are contentious.
Mm-hmm.
And is it possible, if we're not going to have the public here on contentious issues, to not deal with them? I mean, unless, because we can make our agendas smaller. We can make them things that are time sensitive that have to be dealt with only. But the big issues that people want to be involved in, can they be put off? Because if they are, then not having the public here is not as concerning to me. If we were in budget process, people would want to talk about the budget.
Mm-hmm.
We're not in budget process now, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just one example. We have a whole issue with remaking the downtown, and I know many people want to talk about that, and I would hate for that to come up and nobody's here to make it a deputation or to provide input. And I'm just thinking of the really big things that people want to be involved in. To exclude them is not right, but ordinary run-of-the-mill stuff, I don't have any problem. If I get no phone calls on it, and nobody's that concerned, it's fine.
If I can, Your Worship, answer that question. We are not restricting council's right to defer an item.
Okay.
So should council receive phone calls or feel that there was an item that required more public participation, then I encourage you to defer the item and bring it at a later point in time. All we're trying to do, once again, is taking the measures to try and protect council, members of the public, and staff from the spread of this pandemic.
Thank you. With that proviso and with what has just been said, then I will support the motion as well.
Yeah, I don't mind saying in discussing it with the CEO prior to the meeting, I obviously had a lot of concerns as well, and that was one of the issues that came up was, I asked the same question, was what about contentious issues and other things? And the thing that made me feel a little better is nothing is stopping council from deferring any issues that we believe need to be deferred. That would be, that can be and should be put aside until we can have better representation, you know, from the residents. But I will also say that, you know, to this council's credit, for anybody who's not aware, I don't know of any other council so accessible and so responsive to to resident questions and concerns as this council. And I've never seen it, whether it's through email on the street or whatever. People should know is, regardless of how this goes through, your council is available. They always have been, and I have no doubt you will continue to be, if not more, through this process. So I just want to make sure the residents know that may have any concerns. Deputy Mayor?
So the way the motion is written, do we have to make an amendment to allow the media to be able to participate? Because, I mean, it talks about, you know, the public council, or the public, but should we just specify that the media is allowed?
Council can modify the motion to include the media and those needing to delegate for council decisions.
Well, I guess I'd like to make that motion as
Councilor Simone? And Councilor Reno?
Yes.
Okay. And any other concerns or questions? Okay, with that amendment, all those in favor? Carried.
Your Worship, if I can get some clarification from council on their intention, with regards to our other locations, Public Works and the Libro Center, is it the intention of council to direct administration to look at closing those as well, or limiting access at those locations as well? Because I know I've received clear direction with regards to Town Hall. I'm asking for the rest of our staff and for myself for that clarity, please.
Deputy Mayor?
That's a good point, and I'm going to go to what Councilor Reno talked about earlier, though. There are certain key aspects of the business that we need to, you know, continue, whether it's you know, developers that are trying to push, you know, plans forward, or any type of buildings that's going on in this town, and so those key parts I think we have to somehow be able to facilitate. So I'm not sure what your thoughts on how we would facilitate staying open for business, let's say, in a restricted environment.
Through your Worship, I would strongly suggest that Public Works is one of those locations that does not need to stay open for members of the public. They can conduct any of their business via telephone, and we can accommodate them. We really do need to examine building and planning, because that will have further impacts on us down the road. If council can delegate that authority to me with regards to how we will address that, we'll take all the precautionary measures to address that, to ensure staff safety is there, as well as the public's.
And I'll make that motion that the CEO be directed to handle.
Okay, second. Councilor MacArthur, questions? Okay, all those in favor? Carried. Any other concerns? Okay, I believe that is all the items. Councilor MacArthur?
Just a general question in terms of sort of staff readiness, if everyone has to take, are there many people on vacation right now who are going to have to be quarantined for 2 weeks? Is that going to be an issue for this town going forward? Because the cutoff date seemed to be March 14th. People who, you know, and yeah. Some people, and if you left before, you will get paid for your 2 week quarantine. Have we worked that out? Who gets paid, who doesn't get paid? And how we can take care of staff?
Michelle's here, but I can answer the question as best as possible. Michelle, you can jump in at any point in time. We had sent emails out to staff to understand understand where they were going for vacation and when they were leaving. Our position was with regards to staff who left after the announcement was made. When they come back and self-quarantine, our position was they would be required to look at using sick time or vacation during that quarantine period. They would be paid. We're looking at as well exceptional circumstances on allowing additional sick time. Staff is looking at that as well. Those people who left prior to the announcement, they were fully unaware of that. So we're looking at that as well, and we would be looking at compensating that. The individuals who left after the announcement was made, they voluntarily left. There was options that were provided to everybody, and many of the organizations or the companies were offering people the ability to take a credit and book at a later point in time. So we're working on all those. And Michelle, is there anything else? Did I miss anything, or is there anything you want to add?
At this time, we have just a few more managers responding with people who are away. So I'm not aware of exactly who all is out of the country at this point. But those emails are still trickling in. And after this council meeting, yeah, like, we're meeting just to make those finalizations.
And then, just in terms of, you know, shutting down the Libro, shutting down programming, are there sort of part-time workers or freelance people who teach courses, or is there anyone that's expecting revenue over March break that is not going to get that revenue now?
With regards to the part-time staff that were scheduled to come in this week at the Libro, we are making them whole by redeploying them to do other things. With regards to those people from a programming perspective, we're examining that. Our initial position is that we're not going to be providing them revenue, but once again, we're looking at that. We're trying to be consistent with the other municipalities, and we're collaborating with them, because some of the other municipalities are handling it that they are paying them and some of them are not. If you look at the EI enhancements that were made by the province, there is no waiting period. That was changed today. So we're looking at all of those issues, and we'll make the decision that we think is best for those people.
And there are a couple things that came up tonight that may change that as well.
Yeah.
Possibly more people on phones. And
yeah.
So by the time we're done, we may not lose anybody.
No.
Anything else that came up on tonight's agenda? Council Prue?
Yeah, I don't really have a problem with it, but electronic voting and having people out of the room for the meeting is new. And so I know what the province has said. They generally dislike it, but I know that these are times, difficult times. Will this be confined only to those who are quarantined, either voluntarily or by medical reason? Because if somebody just doesn't want to come, I don't think that's going to happen in this council, but I just pose the question. If somebody just doesn't want to come, then just is at home and phone in, it doesn't seem right.
It's a very good question. I thought of that, and I mean, at the end of the day, we're all elected individuals, and really, I trust that council will be here unless they can't. You know, like administration, we're a few of the people who have to be here, and will continue to be here. But I do share your concerns, so hopefully that won't come up with this council, but it should only be those that are generally quarantined for specific reasons.
And it would be the responsibility of the clerk to determine that in advance.
And I can tell you that that is currently happening, and I fully expect it to continue as this process continues, that council will be apprised of issues that arise with other council members, obviously on a confidentiality basis. other questions we can, yeah, Counselor Simone?
It's not really a question, I just wanted to echo what you said at the beginning. Thank you to staff for all your hard work, and for working on the weekend, and for the constant emails, and thank you to the mayor as well for that communication with council.
Yes, I wish we should have even given you more, but it changed so quickly. I don't know how many times I had a draft going and stopped and then had to restart it. And finally, we went with the decision we did and just continued. So hopefully the residents understand it wasn't easy, and it will affect programming in town, but I kind of had to believe that council was going to continue that position. Thank you. Deputy Mayor?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Counselor Simone, all those in favor? Carried.